couple weeks, we've been looking at Church Covenant. We've seen so far that Church Covenant defines relationships between church members and with one another and also with the Lord. It's basically an agreement, a summary of how church members agree to live. It's also an affirmation of a commitment that we commit ourselves to living in such a way. And it's a solemn promise. We saw last week, the week before, church consists of a regenerate membership, that is, only the saved can be members in one of the Lord's churches, but not only a regenerate, but also a baptized, scripturally baptized membership. So it's a quality membership, not a quantity, and that's where the emphasis always needs to be put. We can never turn that around. We're not to put the emphasis upon quantity, but the emphasis is always to be upon the quality. And that's why churches have discipline. That's why we have the practice of granting and receiving letters, because, again, the emphasis is upon quality. The Church Covenant, again, states the importance, states the responsibility, the obligation of church membership. The last statement of the first paragraph of the Church Covenant states one body in Christ. One body in Christ. Very, very few have realized the significance of a body of Christ. And as you look through the New Testament, we see the analogy of a body. And again, it shows us the importance of church membership. It also stresses the importance of what is written, what is stated in our church covenant. We know that the kind of church that Jesus established during his earthly ministry is often referred to as a body of Christ. That is, each church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a body of Christ in that locality. A body, of course, must have a location. A body must have a locality. So each church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a body of Christ and is often referred to that throughout the New Testament. Notice in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And again, I believe if we can understand the analogy of a body of Christ, that helps us to understand a little better the church covenant. But in Romans 12, verse 4 and 5, "For as we have many members in one body," that's true of our physical bodies. That's true of the Lord's church also. "And all members have not the same office." That is, our arms do not have the same purpose as our legs. Our ears do not have the same purpose as our eyes. They do not all have the same office, nor are they the same. In verse 5, "So we," now he's making application, "being many, are one body in Christ." The church there at Rome were many members, yet they made up one body in Christ. And then notice, "and everyone members," that is, every member of that body is a member of one another. That is, you cannot separate them. They make up this one body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and verse 17, he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, talking about the church of Corinth here, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread, speaking of Christ, which again emphasizes a regenerate church membership. But again, it's many members, one body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, of course, gives the best analogy of a body and the church of Christ, but we're not going to go there tonight. But in Ephesians 4 and verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Talking about the church there at Ephesus. In verse 16, from whom goes back to Christ, of verse 15, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There we see each member is to support the health of the church, is to contribute to the health and the well-being of the church. And the church covenant is simply a commitment to do so. It is the commitment that we will strive for the advancement of this particular body of Christ. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 18, Colossians 1, verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. And as you read on, he is to have preeminence. Being the head, he is to have preeminence in the church. And then notice in Colossians 2, verse 19, Colossians 2, verse 19, and not holding the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So the church, Home Baptist Church, is a body of Christ. Now, a body immediately implies an organization. You have to have an organization of parts. You cannot have a church without an organization of parts, which of course does away with the theory of universal church. A body must have a framework. You can't have a body without a framework, and a body is basically, not only is it an organization, but it is a systematic grouping of parts into something that functions well. And that's what each and every one of the Lord's churches is a body of Christ. Now, we know that Jesus had a human body, the incarnation. He had a human body, and his human body was prepared for him. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 5, we read, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So Christ had a human body. And that human body was prepared. It was prepared. It was organized. It was a creation of God. So it was a prepared body. And every physical body, our human bodies, are prepared by God. And it's no different with a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a prepared body. That is, it's not just thrown together. It is carefully prepared, carefully created. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read a couple of verses there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, he hath set the members, that's preparation, that's organization, that's a framework. God hath set the members, not just thrown them together, but he hath set them with a definite purpose. He hath set the members, every one of them, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. That's true of our physical bodies. That is also true of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then notice verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. Not all, but he sets some in the church. And he does so as it pleases him. So what we see from this, from a body again is a creation. A body is an organization. A body is a preparation. What this teaches us is that church membership is all about being added. It is all about being set by the Lord. The only ones who are true members of the Lord's churches are those who are set in it by the Lord. Now, people may creep in, and they may get their names on a church roll. That, however, does not mean that they are members. They are only members in the sense that they are on the church roll. The only ones that the Lord considers members are the ones that he set in. And I believe with all of my heart, the ones that the Lord has set in will be faithful. They will be faithful, and they will make up the bride of Christ. But that's another message. So we see church membership is all about being added. It's all about being set by the Lord. In other words, it's not about our plans. It's not about our devisings. It's not about us looking 10 years down the road and saying, well, in 10 years I'm going to retire and I'm going to move to such and such a place and there's a church there I'm going to join that. Church membership isn't about your plans. It isn't about your devisings. It's about being added. It's about being set in a particular body by the Lord himself. So it's not about who you and I think would make good church members. It's about the Lord adding them and about the Lord setting them in. People will say all the time, oh, so-and-so, they would make a great church member. Only if the Lord adds them. That's the only way they will make a good church member. It's the only way they can really, truly, in the Lord's eyes, be a church member is if the Lord has added him. It's not about where the work is. That's not what determines church membership. It's about being added. It's not where the money is. It's not where the opportunity is. It's not where the job transfers you to. That's not what church membership is about. And yet, churches have fallen into those traps. And I believe that's one of the reasons that we have many today that really have never been added by the Lord. They've never been set in by the Lord. It's not about climate. Well, you know, I'm tired of Michigan winters. I'm going to go somewhere it's warm. And there's a church there, and I'll just join that church. Church membership's not about climate. It's about being added. It's not about family. Well, I'm going to go to such and such a church because that's where my family is. It's not about family. It's about being added and set in the church. So we see Christ had a body prepared for him. We know that Jesus Christ, in his fleshly body, passed into the heavens. His body is no longer visible to the human eye. You and I can no longer see the physical body of Jesus Christ like the apostles could during the earthly ministry of Christ. But his churches are now his representative body in the world. And each church is a body of Christ. Therefore, the church covenant is a summary of how God would have us to live in a body of Christ. It is, again, an affirmation of a commitment to God. It is an affirmation of a commitment to his church. And it is an affirmation of a commitment to personal holiness and to one another as a body of Christ. So all through the scriptures we see the church has a body of Christ. So we want to consider tonight the church and the analogy of a body, and hopefully we can see the importance of church membership just by the analogy of a body and the importance of each church member as a member of the body of Christ. First of all, people are identified by their bodies. People are identified by their bodies. We are identified by our fleshly bodies. You see somebody and you say, there is so-and-so. Well, in truth, it's not them, it's the house they live in. But they are identified by their bodies. Christ is no different. Jesus Christ is identified by his body here on earth. And what is his body here on earth? It is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Home Baptist Church is to identify, or Christ should be identified in our church. And that means every member must be identified with Christ. Every member must be a testimony of Jesus Christ. So people are identified by their bodies. Bodies are dwelling places. These human bodies are the places where you and I live. A human body is not the person, but it is the place where the person lives. It is the place where the person dwells. And each church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a body of Christ. Each church is not Christ. Each church is a body of Christ. That is, it is a dwelling place of Jesus Christ. It is a particular, and it has to be in a particular place. And just as Jesus Christ lived in his physical body, so Jesus Christ lives in his representative body, the church, the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a definite connection between a person and their fleshly body. We are identified by these fleshly bodies. Our person dwells within these physical bodies. So there is a connection between our person and our body. And there is also a connection between Jesus Christ and his body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So each and every member must have a connection with Jesus Christ. That is the only way that a church can be identified with Christ. A body, as we've already said, is by design. A body is a creation. It is a work of God. A body is not an accident. No matter who you see, you know that is a creation. That is a creation of God. It is not an accident. Just as that is true of our physical bodies, that is also true of every church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a creation. It is a design. It is a creation and a design that has been prepared by God. It's not an accident. It has not been thrown together in some haphazard way. And that's what happens, though, if you just, a bunch of people just decide to get together and people move from here and there, and pretty soon you have a group of people that have been thrown together in a haphazard way. That's not a church. A church, again, is a body. It's a creation. It's a creation by design. It's been put together by the Lord. And just as God put together our physical bodies in a suitable order, so the Lord, when he puts together a body of Christ, does so in a suitable order. The Lord has a very definite order when he adds individuals. He not only adds individuals, he adds them at particular times. So there is a suitable order and there is a purpose. Every church of the Lord Jesus Christ has a purpose. Perhaps a church will go out of existence in 30 years. The Lord had a purpose for that church in those 30 years. Not every church of the Lord Jesus Christ was meant to be here until Jesus comes. We know that his churches will be here, will be someplace until he comes. But not every single church was meant to be here till Jesus Christ comes. If that were the case, they'd all still be here. So there is a purpose. And God sets the members in place in our human bodies, and God places the members in his church as well. The reason my
right arm is in the place that it is because that's where God put it. And the reason we are in this church and each one's in their particular place is because that's where God put them. And as long as people stay where God has put them, things work very well. But it's when we decide to move around. And people don't realize, and certainly churches don't seem to realize, that if you just decide, well, next year I'm going to move to Colorado and there's a church there and I'm going to join that church. Well, first of all, if it's not God's will, you've taken yourself out of the place where God has put you. And you've put yourself in a place where God hasn't put you. So you have done harm to two churches. You have done harm to the church you left because it wasn't God's will for you to leave. And you have done harm to the church that you've joined, because I'm telling you, unless God adds you, you're not going to help that church. You're not going to be a benefit to it. You say, well, I make so much money, I'll be able to help them financially, or I'll be able to help them with my talent. That's human thinking. That's human reasoning. It's just like if I take Brother Art's arm and tie it unto mine, what's going to happen? It's going to get in the way. It's going to get in the way. The Lord didn't put it there. I can tie it on, but it's going to get in the way. It's going to be a cumbrance. And that's what happens when people join churches rather than being added to churches. They become a cumbrance. So again, they do harm to two bodies of Christ. So a body is a miracle. A body, a physical body, is a miracle. A physical body is a wonder of God. Again, Psalm 139, David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That is true of you and I physically. But how much so that is true of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are creations of God. They are creation miracles of God. They are wonders of God. So a church is a miracle of God. And if you have been added to a particular church, that's a miracle. That's a wonder. And a church covenant is simply, again, a commitment that we're going to be everything we ought to be, so that that body of Christ can be what it ought to be. The analogy of a body speaks of the relation of the members of the body one to another. Again, if you look at the human body, each member is related to the other, has a responsibility to the other. And that is true also in the church. Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again in Ephesians 4, we've read this verse once, but in Ephesians 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body, it's important that the whole body be what it ought to be. That's important. And just like if there's a part of your body that's not functioning properly, it gives your whole body a problem. And it's true of the church as well. So we're not talking about a part of the body. We're talking about the whole body. And we notice here that it is fitly joined together and compacted. And then notice, by that which every joint of the whole body. And then notice he goes on and he says, and every part. So every joint supplieth according to the effectual work in the measure of every part. Every joint and every part is descriptive of the members of the body. It's not just descriptive of some of the members, it is descriptive of every single member of the body. So if the Lord adds one to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that individual must realize that they are part of a body. Everything they do affects the overall body, affects the overall health of the body. These individuals who seem to think they can live like they please and it's not the church's business, well, that's just nonsense. That's like saying I can cut off my left arm and it's not going to affect the rest of my body. Or I can mutilate my left arm and it's not going to affect the rest of my body. It certainly is. It's going to make my right arm work harder. my right arm is now going to have to pick up the slack from my left arm. So you see, it affects the whole body. And everything we do affects the whole body of Christ, affects every member in one way or the other, either directly or indirectly. It affects every single member. And this is brought out very clearly. Notice again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 16 through verse 20. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? He's showing us the importance here that our bodily parts are not all the same. They have different offices. They have different purposes. That is also true of the body of Christ. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? If all you had was an eye, that's not a body. If all you had was an arm, that's not a body. A body is made up of many members. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And again, may I say, it is a whole body. A whole body. Each and every part must be content with its place in the body. And again, the example of our human body shows that though each member is different, it also shows us that each member can do extraordinary things in their proper place. But if you take a bodily part out of its place, you've got serious problems. And so it is with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see from the analogy of a body that each and every part must be in unison with the other parts. When you and I want to walk, we don't even think about it. Our right leg and left leg work together. You wouldn't get anywhere if they didn't. If your left leg wanted to go one direction, your right leg wanted to go another, you wouldn't get anywhere. And that's what's happening in a lot of churches today. There's no unison of movement. There's no unison of parts. Again, in Ephesians 4, verse 16, the whole body fitly, that is, tightly and securely, joined, united, connected, linked together, and compacted, that is, knit together as one. And when that happens, every joint supplieth according or in accord with the effectual or the effective working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body. You see, every member is to make increase of the body. Every member is to promote the well-being of the body. And it's just like if you have a member of your physical body and that member begins to becomes destructive to your overall body, sometimes an amputation has to be performed. You have to get rid of that. Otherwise, the whole body is going to be affected. So each and every member must work together, and each and every member must contribute to the health of the body. Now, we know today that there are those in the Lord's churches that do not, nor have they ever, contributed to the health, the spiritual health of the body. Now, I have a hard time believing that the Lord added them, because I believe the ones that the Lord adds are going to contribute to the overall spiritual well-being of the body. Now, we can all get sickly, spiritually speaking, and we can become a hindrance to the body of Christ, and that ought to greatly concern us. And that's, again, the covenant is simply a summary of what the Bible teaches, and it's our commitment that we are going to contribute to the overall health, spiritual health of the body. So the reason that every part of the body must be tightly, securely, united, connected, linked, and knit together is so that each and every part can properly work within that body. And if each and every member is properly working, then each and every member is now contributing to the benefit of that body. And when that happens, that's a wonderful thing. Each and every member. But today, it's pitiful because we have broken it down to, well, 85% of our people are faithful. And we're happy about that. Well, if 85% of my physical body was, 15% of my physical body wasn't working, I wouldn't be too happy about that. But somehow today in churches, well, you know, we had 80% of our members there. Well, that's pitiful. It really is. And what's pitiful is we become satisfied with that. And now there's people talking, well, we have 50%. It's pitiful. We need 100%. We need the whole body. The whole body together. And that's the only way that a church can be healthy. Now, I realize that a lot of times when we say 85% of the members are there, perhaps they're all there. Perhaps the other 15% are the ones the Lord didn't add. I don't know. But that's not always the case either. So my point is, we cannot be content with a percentage. We want the whole body. The whole body. The whole body committed to living as the Lord would have us to live. We see also in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 28, we're not going to read that to save time, but each and every part, each and every member must care for the other parts in order to have a healthy body. Each member must care for the other parts. That's also true in a body of Christ. If one member gets tired, it gets weak, the other members are to help that individual. And it's true in our physical body as well. The analogy of a body speaks of the relation of the members to the head. Every member of my physical body has a direct relationship to the brain, to the head. If something breaks that connection, that part of my body ceases to function. And it's true in the Lord's churches as well. Jesus Christ is the head. The head is the highest and the most honorable and the most exalted part of the body. And Jesus Christ is the head. The very first thing that people ought to see is the head. That is Jesus Christ. The first thing they ought to see in every single member is Jesus Christ. Now, the head, again, is indispensable to life. Separate from the head, the body ceases. Separate from the head, the body is nothing. And separate from the Lord Jesus Christ, we are nothing. We're nothing. We can do nothing. Separate from Jesus Christ. You can have all the programs you want. You can have all the committees you want. But I'm telling you, separate from the head, you're nothing. Nothing at all. And that's what's happening today. People are trying to replace Christ with committees and all kinds of other things. But without the head, the body's dead. And so we have to keep a relationship. Each member has to keep a relationship with the head, Jesus Christ, because the head is the telegraph room for our physical bodies. In our physical bodies, signals are sent from the head to the arms and legs and the feet. And again, if something interrupts that signal, if somehow that's disconnected, you've got a problem. You've got a real problem. And that's also true in the Lord's churches. If communication is stopped between the head and the members, there is a problem. And it doesn't take a percentage, it only takes one member. It only takes one member If the connection is broken from my brain to my left arm before this night's over, I'm going to have a problem. And it only takes one member to break their connection with Jesus Christ, to break fellowship with Jesus Christ, and the whole body has a problem. The whole body has a problem. So don't ever think that what you do is not going to affect the body of Christ. Everything we do affects the overall health of the body. So the church ought to have a likeness to the fleshly body of Christ. The fleshly body of Christ was humble, was unattractive in appearance. When people looked at the fleshly body of Christ, they didn't see anything special. But within that body was the fullness of the Godhead. And today, when the world looks at the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't see anything special. But within that body is Jesus Christ. That's where he dwells. And the church is never to compromise who they are in order to make themselves more attractive to the world. Christ never did. Christ never compromised who he was to make himself appear more beautiful to the world. And that is also true of the bodies of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot compromise who we are to get in more people. That's, again, putting the emphasis upon quantity rather than quality. Well, if we just let up in this area, so-and-so would join. Well, that we ought to take the attitude, I guess so-and-so's not going to join then. Because we cannot compromise and make ourselves attractive. Again, it gets back to the same old point. We're not joining them. We're not joining them. They're joining us. And they must be in agreement. But people get this backwards all the time. The fleshly body of Christ was living and it was active. Everywhere Jesus Christ went in that body, he was doing the work of God. And so it is with the body of Christ. The body of Christ is to be living. It's to be active. It's to be doing the work of God. In that fleshly body of Jesus Christ dwelt the Holy Spirit. And we see in Ephesians 2 that the church is a habitation of God through the Spirit. The body of Christ, in that body, Jesus Christ manifested God. And that's what the church is to do. But in order for the church to do those things, each and every member must do those things. And that's what the church covenant is. It is, again, a summary of our commitment to do those things. So in light of all of this, we see that it is an awesome responsibility to be a member of a body of Christ. If you want to join a club, you join a club. But the church is not a club. A church is not a social organization. It is a body of Christ. And that carries an awesome responsibility, more responsibility than any of us have ever fully realized. It carries an awesome obligation, and it carries an awesome privilege as well. And again, a church covenant is simply a summary of the terms, the conditions, and stipulations of what it means to be a member of a body of Christ. The church, of course, ought to be a place of worship. In order for that to happen, the people, those who make up the membership of that church, have to be a people of worship. The church is to be the pillar and ground of truth. Therefore, it is imperative that each and every member be steadfast in the truth. They do not have to know. They do not have to come to the knowledge of truth to the same degree. But what they know, they have to be steadfast in. We all grow at different paces. And there's babes in Christ. There's young men in Christ. There's old men in Christ. There's different levels of spiritual maturity. But the key is that whatever we know, we're steadfast in. If you only know one thing, you'd be steadfast in it. If you know two things, you'd be steadfast in that. The only way a church can be the pillar and ground of truth is if each member is steadfast in the truth. But today, we have members, and I'm talking about here, and I'm talking about the Lord's churches in general. We have members who do not even believe the same truth that the church proclaims, and they make it known that they do not believe that. And that's a problem. That's a real problem, because a church cannot be the pillar and ground of truth if they have members that are going against the truth. And church members will do this. They will say, well, that's what my church believes, but I'm not convicted about that. Well, if that's true, you need to keep your mouth shut and don't broadcast it, because it does great harm. We see a church ought to be evangelistic. Therefore, each and every member has to be evangelistic. A church is to be holy. Therefore, the members must be holy. A church is only as holy as its members. You can preach holiness all the time, but if the members aren't holy, the church isn't holy. If the members aren't thriving spiritually, the church isn't thriving spiritually. So you cannot separate the condition of the body of Christ with the condition of the members that make up that body. A church is to be praying. And again, the only way that can happen is if the members are a praying people. A church is to be loving. And again, the only way that can happen is if it's made up of people that are loving. So everything that the church ought to be, the members must be. Everything. And it gets people upset, but people will complain. The church should do this. The church should be this. Well, are you? Are you? That's a good place to start. Start with yourself. Well, the church should be more loving. Then be more loving. Don't just cast the blame on everybody else. Be more loving. The church should be more giving. Then give more. The church should be more praying. Then pray more. And on we could go. But and again, the church covenant covers all of this. So the church covenant is an affirmation of commitment to the Lord. It is saying that we have been added to this particular body of Christ, and we are making a commitment to the Lord. We should not be interested in anybody who is not willing to commit themselves to the Lord. That's the only kind of members that we need, are those who are going to be committed to the Lord, committed to His church, and committed to personal holiness. So all of that simply says this, that a covenant, no covenant, no matter what it is, should ever be entered into lightly, but especially a church covenant, because it's a body of Christ. And it should not be entered into lightly. It should not be entered into without thought, without diligent consideration, and without much prayer, and without feeling the definite leading of the Spirit of God that is adding you. Those things must be there before we would even think about being a member of one of the Lord's churches. So this is serious business, church membership. And next week we'll begin looking at the second paragraph of the church covenant, get into some particulars of the covenant. But I hope and pray that we realize that being a member of one of the Lord's churches is a blessing. It's a privilege, and it is an awesome responsibility. I believe 1 Corinthians teaches very plainly, you mistreat the Lord's church. And if you belong to God, you may lose your life. It's serious business. And you touch the church, and you touch Christ. Again, the Apostle Paul, or Saul, never laid a hand on Jesus Christ. But when Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He was persecuting the church but it's the same as persecuting Christ. And every church member, when you're unfaithful to the church, you're unfaithful to Christ. How you treat the church, how you talk about the church is how, again, it's Christ. It is the body of Christ, and it is the bride of Christ, and he is closely identified with it, and that ought to cause us fear that we would ever mistreat the church in any way. Brother Jim, if you'd